Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's text comes from our Gospel reading according to St. John, an apostle. After Jesus had ascended into heaven, his closest and all those who had heard and believed were left to tell about the wonders they had seen, about the good news they had heard, and the many miracles that were performed. Of this Jesus, this Son of Man, this Son of God. It is believed that Jesus is crucified around the year 33 AD, and in today's lesson in John, it is written somewhere around the year 90 AD, some 57 years later. I've used this example before, but as kids do ever play that game where you start people in a circle, and the first person whispers to the next person's ear, and the next person to that and that, and then you see how it comes out at the end. Sometimes people change it on purpose, but usually it does not come out anything like how it started, its intention of the game anyway. But John the Baptist baptizes Jesus around the year 29 to 30 AD and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, fast forward 90 AD, 57 some years later, when John is writing his own gospel, that's a lot of ears to pass through and a lot of whispers to give. Try to remember back 57 years myself. Actually, I was only 1 year old. I got to say, I don't remember anything. The other three gospels are written somewhere some 40 years earlier, give or take. So why does the author John, one of Christ's followers, actually known to be the one whom he loved, write some 40 years later all the documentation that all have been seen, documentation of all that have been there? Remember, the whispering ear-to-ear game I mentioned, well, all those years later, ear-to-ear, around this time, the truth of Christ was turning sour, was turning into lies. They were taking the truth that had been given by Christ and his followers, and this was a time of some of the leaders where they were turning it back to saying mainly that Christ was not the Son of God, which of course is why he was crucified, what he had said. That's not what happened, but that's what they were dealing with during that period of time. And it started probably quite of the circle of followers, just like that gang, because some of it probably was started from the Jews, who they held their course, of course, as they did back then, that the Messiah had not been there yet. He was not the Son of God, as he had said he was. So it is thought that John, in his calling, wanted to set the circle straight, that circle, that whispering. He wanted to set it straight at that time, so he sat down and wrote that. Anyway, that's what Luther and a bunch of people smarter than me say. And the truth, because he had been there, he knew he was there. He had talked to those people and witnessed with his eyes. And it doesn't take him long. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He starts right out with a defining truth about Jesus. He is the Son of God, the defining truth. John is a clarifier by the stroke of the pen, if you will. He is no mincer of words. If that's a word of words, he doesn't beat around the bush again, so he speaks today's lesson. And in today's lesson, he is telling about the calling of Jesus' first disciples. He writes from the testimony of John the Baptist, as we read today, in verse 29. And the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." I am not sure if he's a finger pointer like I tend to be sometimes, but I would have pointed, "Look." Now, if you were one of those looking for the Messiah, as the Jews had ever since, well, Moses tells the story in his first five books, you would have looked. Others would say, "Yeah, so what?" When I worked at the Tribune in Hornell a few years back, well, this is quite a while ago, when there was the election, party line election between Obama and Hillary Clinton. Anyway, Hillary Clinton was coming to town, and you'd have thought Christ himself was coming, so to speak, because the town stood still. They had meetings everywhere. We ourselves shut down the presses, waited for meetings, waited for pictures, waited for Embry, for all kinds of stuff. It was just horrible. I remember us being in the press room waiting for all the stuff that came back. So I went outside and somebody said, "Hey, look, there goes Hillary." And I remember saying, "Yes, yeah, so what?" Now, I'm not taking a political stance here, but I remember thinking all the work that I went through for what? For Hillary Clinton. Anyway, another time, My mom was an enthusiast of a singer back in the 70s. His name was Tom Jones. Maybe some of you remember him. Drove me nuts, but anyway, she loved the guy. When he would come to town, every breathing woman, it seemed like, screamed and sang and went to his concerts and knew every word of the song. My mom would sing them all day long, drive my dad nuts. But when the Pope came to Buffalo, the entire state of New York came to just get a glimpse of the man. And with even more enthusiasm, John the Baptist says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And picture yourself there, quite a few people around, because John the Baptist had quite a following. John says, "Look, no rock star, no politician, no religious leader. Probably a Joe Schmo looking guy. Probably didn't have any distinguishing features. This looked like a normal guy. Probably had to pick him out and point to him who he was. Who would believe that?" John sees Jesus again the next day. Verse 35. "Behold, look, the Lamb of God." And again, I can picture everyone looking around for Elvis. "Where is he? Where is he? Look, where? Look." Who would or possibly believe this? They had been looking for the Messiah since before Moses. Who would or possibly could believe this? Andrew and another did. Why? Because they had been looking for him. And there he was. And they immediately needed to follow him. They had questions. They had a desire to know. A few thousand years ago or so, people had been looking for him. And behold, look, here he is, the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's a long time to look for someone. But his identity is proclaimed to the world by a man in burlap, a very trusted and faithful preacher, this John the Baptist, this prophet of God. God had kept his word. The Savior had arrived. And the fact that he had not just come into the world, he was right there among them, right there in front of them, touchable, speakable, interrelating with them. Now, for at least 2 days, we're told, those 2 days, the Baptist records, these two disciples of John had front row seats with him, rather average-looking son of carpenter, who just happened to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So put yourself in those shoes of those two disciples that were there following him. Here they have the Lamb of God there. They had questions, and they wanted to tag along. Even today, imagine the shy opening, and Jesus descends from heaven, and with a roar, a thunder, God proclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wake up! Here he is." I cannot imagine how lucky these two felt and intimidated. Here's the Lamb of God. What and how are we ever going to present ourselves to him? How are we going to ask the very questions? But right in front of them, and in verse 38, Jesus turns around and talks to them and says, "What are you seeking?" I imagine they couldn't believe what was happening. They wanted more, of course, and they said, "Where are you staying?" In verse 39, he doesn't say, "Well, go online to the officeticket.com website." And he doesn't tell them to show on the 9th. "Here, get your ticket and show up on the 9th. He answers as if they were old buddies from Wellsville. "Come, and you will see." Today they would have been seated, text and pictures to everyone. They would have gotten out their cell phones. That would have been on YouTube. They would have changed their Facebook page. They would have done all that. Now they stay that night because it was late, we're told. Verse 40, we're told that one of these two is actually Andrew, a future apostle of Jesus. And in verse 41 it reads, "He, Andrew, first found his brother Simon Peter and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah.'" Not, "We didn't find a quarter along the road. We didn't find that pair of missing keys that we've been looking for. We found the Messiah, the Lamb of God," which means Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And why was this so important? Because they had been seeking him. And what did Jesus say in verse 38? "What are you seeking?" And all part of God's glorious plan to announce and to proclaim to the world the one you have been waiting for, the one you are seeking, is here. Look. In verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Folks, when you walked in here today and sat down, Jesus said to you, "What are you seeking?" You are as millions of others in the world. Seek the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he isn't saying, "Well, come back on the 9th with your ticket. Pew 5, seat 10, we'll seat you." He says to you, to me, "Come, and you will see." Every time you open your Bible, he says, "What are you seeking? Come, and you will see." Every time you pray, "What are you seeking? Come, and you will see." Every time you talk to someone about God, Jesus is saying, "What are you seeking? Come, and you will see." When your children look at you like you're nuts, he gives you answers to, "What are you seeking? Come, and you will see." Think about that for a minute. If you are seeking to talk to Hillary Clinton, you have come to the wrong place. You need tickets to probably go see that. If you have come for a rock concert, you probably need tickets to go see that somewhere else too. But if it is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, you are home. If it's because of a drug or an alcohol-related problem, if it's because you feel empty or lost, if it's because your life seems so far away and empty, no meaning, whatever the reason, if it's because you are sad, if it's because there is a need to help feed the poor, if it's because you want to help the sick, whatever your reason is, it has brought you here today. Christ says, "What are you seeking?" And he is saying to you and to me, "Come and you will see." God fulfilled promise and prophecy by those words of John the Baptist. Look, behold. As we look around here today, as we look around today, and as you look around tomorrow, and as you look around thereafter, Christ invites you into his family. Come and see and receive. You see, he offers absolutely free gifts on top of everything else, of eternal life and complete forgiveness of your sins. Just like John the Baptist, just like Andrew, our Lord still uses the simple, humble means of first-person word-of-mouth evangelism. Look, behold, come with me and see. The Messiah awaits you. I've seen him. He's here. Now, will everyone find what they are looking for? No. Because it all depends on what you are looking for, obviously. I can promise you this, however. Each week in this very building and in this room, people look. They behold. They look. They seek this Jesus who says, "Come and see." There are very few places in the entire world where you ever find such a place that tells the truth. The truth about God and his promises. Where there are no favorites. There are no special rules for different people. There's no money value taken to the words that are given up here. When you look, you will find the unconditional love and grace and peace of Jesus Christ. He who takes away the sins of the world. It is critical that when we seek and behold, and we look, there he is, that we grab on and give ourselves to him. Otherwise, we are spectators at a rock concert. Good show. Now go home. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We seek him. We receive his gifts. We come and we look for him and we come and see. And by your faith, take those words and everything you do to the world. Because that's what he meant from the very beginning of those words to the end of time when he comes back. Seek. To those who we do not know, to those that can seek and find our amazing Savior and eternal life through him, using you as a guided, lighted tool. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.